Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
For the week of Thanksgiving, this is the big Thanksgiving weekend, we have a bunch of stuff.
A whole lot of stuff.
We have a, let's just say, a cornucopia of movies that we can talk about.
You could say that.
We have Frozen, which is Disney's latest film, animated film. And we also have Homefront, which is very similar to Frozen.
Right, something just like that.
Jason Statham versus Rednecks.
Yes.
Why not? Mm. We have Black Nativity, which is probably closer to Frozen than Homefront is.
I sure hope so.
It's a musical. Yeah. We also have Old Boy, which is a family film.
Mm-hmm, yes.
That definitely. People can watch.
Lots of great Thanksgiving family films this week.
Exactly. And Philomena, which is also a family film.
It is.
In a way. So it is time for family in the radio and in the movie houses and all that sort of thing. We have a little bit of news because we got so many movies to talk about that we want to, because we got tons to talk about next month too.
Yep.
We also have DVDs and Blu-rays. So before we do that, you can get a hold of us by emailing us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. You leave us your, well, now you can leave us Christmas wishes. You can send us Christmas cards, money.
Yes.
Pies.
Take donations.
I always take pies.
Yes. And cookies.
Cookies
like
and
cookies.
Pies. Yeah. Cookies and pies. You know, don't send us movies. We got plenty of those. You can go to fatguysonthemovies.com to find us on the internet. And you can go to facebook.com/FGATM to find us on Facebook. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can find me at twitter.com/Kevin Carr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Next up, we're going to be talking about news because... let's just jump into it. There's not a whole lot of stuff because...
not a lot going on this week. It's a short week.
It's Thanksgiving and...
everybody's got other things to do.
So, yeah, everyone's worried about shopping. Everyone's worried about shopping and Black Friday and whether or not you were shopping on Thanksgiving and that sort of thing. That's just, you know, what's on everybody's mind. I mean, if we're not going to be talking about Black Friday
deals... totally on my mind.
Yeah, if we're not going to talk about Black Friday deals, we're not talking about anything else in the news. Except for a couple things. There's going to be a J.R.R. Tolkien biopic.
Yes, because we haven't had enough of him yet.
I know. We're like halfway through the Hobbit series.
You know, it's a funny story. I was talking to my babysitter last week, who's 16, and she was thinking about going to screenings, and, you know, because I can do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was talking about some of the movies that are coming up, and I said, you know, we've got Walter Mitty and we've got The Hobbit. And she's like, well, you know, I think I've heard of The Hobbit.
I've heard of The Hobbit. She was wild when
like,
it was published,
oh,
wasn't she?
Oh, dear.
60 years. What, he published that in 1937?
Yeah.
Well, maybe
something
she was.
Something like that.
It may have been before she was born. That is how long we've gotten
she's
from
She's 16,
that.
Not 16. 16?
I thought you said 60.
No, 16. She's a teenager.
Wow.
And yeah,
there's
so kids these days.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. She
maybe heard about The Hobbit.
I can understand if like 5 years ago you not heard about The Hobbit. Because
still,
the Lord of the Rings movies had gone, and is she aware of Star Wars?
I hope so.
That's before she was born, too. Yeah.
So it just made me kind of sad. I almost cried a little bit just then.
The Matrix
really,
is almost older than her.
Really? You haven't heard of The Hobbit? Maybe. I think I might have heard of The Hobbit.
Well, what's funny with the J.R.R. Tolkien biopic, I would be stunned if like Guillermo del Toro or Peter Jackson directed it, which they won't. But
I would like to see Peter Jackson do it. I'd like to see that.
It would be interesting. I think we're going to end up with something like Hitchcock.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure it will be.
Where it's okay. Anyways, I like the Hobbit movies, but there's only too much Tolkien I can take.
Yeah.
In more movie news, and this is a big one.
Is it big?
It's
really
it's huge. They're making a remake of the most epic movie ever made on the history of the planet, which would be Roadhouse.
Right.
Which, I mean, trampling on poor Patrick Swayze's grave.
Well, you know, we started it already with last year's...
You mean Red Dawn?
Yes, Red Dawn.
With Thor?
Yeah.
Thor and Josh Peck versus the world?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, the Roadhouse... part of the thing that's so amazing about this is I would not call Roadhouse a beloved movie.
It's kind of a cult drinking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of these movies... I remember when it came out. I remember watching it on video, like... very soon, like in 1989 or 90,
yeah.
Whenever it came out in video, and saying, this is really a dumb movie. It's not very good. And then like 5 years, it's sort of like wine, or it puts it in a keg or in a casket, you know,
a cask.
It put it in a cask for a couple years.
Perhaps it belongs in a casket.
It probably does. And then suddenly everyone's watching it on, what is it, TBS that kept showing it?
Yeah.
It's their Christmas story.
And I've seen it a million times there and, you know, then changed the channel.
Yeah.
So... I don't know.
It's my way or the highway. Mm. But who do you think should play the Patrick Swayze character? Or who do you think should play and who might end up playing?
I'm going to go with our usual and say Pauly Shore.
I would love to see Pauly Shore. Or like Steven Seagal.
As, I can see that.
As the Roadhouse guy.
Sure.
I really think they're going to try and get Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That's who I... Because Rob Cohen's directing
And why not?
It. Yeah.
Why not?
Or Vin Diesel, because Rob Cohen's directing it.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Because, you know, Fast and Furious 6 comes out in a couple weeks and on DVD. And, you know, you're looking at the two of them play each other. So that is the latest in remake. And another remake, which is an interesting thing. And it's so funny because we're on the radio. This is not going to have as much impact. But I encourage you people to go check this out. You people. What am I saying? You people. Seth Rogen and James Franco decided to remake the Bound 2 video from Kanye West.
And Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. If you are unfamiliar with it, it is a just incredibly awful song.
It is. It's terrible.
It's like choppy. And we'll play a clip. And
I watched the remake video, and I was like, wow, this is terrible. Did they do this song themselves? And I was like, no, that's actually the song.
It really sounds like a three-year-old edited it.
It does. It's terrible.
It's like music, and then, oh, babe, or whatever is it? What does she say? I don't know what she says.
It's terrible.
It's awful. And I think, because at first I couldn't decide whether James Franco was actually singing it.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
But I think that's actually...
No, I think it really is it. Yeah.
The track from Kanye West.
Yeah, because I played the Kanye West track right after it. And I was like, oh wow, yeah, that really is the way that Kanye West intended it.
And what's amazing about the video is it made a big deal because Kim Kardashian went topless in the video. Which, A, first of all, you don't see a whole lot because it's shot backlit and everything. But also, she has like a 10-year-old sex tape.
Yeah.
What have we not seen on Kim Kardashian that wasn't like younger and less babyfied?
Nice.
You know.
Don't need to think about that.
Yeah. Anyways, James Franco, you get to see his, no, not James Franco, you get
Seth
to see
Rogen.
Seth Rogen and his nurples and everything.
Yes.
So I'm going to, before I, audience members start throwing up around the country, let's move on.
Oh, let's do that, please.
Let's do a quick review. Well, sort of a preview kind of thing. It's Black Nativity. It's one of the movies we're going to be talking about this week. After falling on hard times, a son to a single mother goes to live with his grandparents in Harlem. I mean, falling on hard times. Let's move to Harlem. And learns the true meaning of Christmas.
Nice.
We've been evicted?
You're going to spend the holidays with your grandparents.
Holy night.
We don't even know them.
Do you guys know the way to Harlem?
Am I the cause of all my mother's misery? Did my very birth destroy my whole family?
Us child, it'll be all right.
This one, they there was a screening, but there was an act of God. Get this, an act of God kept me from seeing Black Nativity. It's a update of Langston Hughes's play from or musical from the Harlem Renaissance. And I mean, it's pretty much squarely made for a certain audience. It's made for African American, Christian based groups, and I don't think it's going to play much outside of it.
No, I don't think so.
Especially with as crowded as it is.
I'm interested in seeing it just because it's Langston Hughes. And I studied literature, and I spent a lot of time reading Langston Hughes. So to me, it's interesting. Yeah. So, you know, you have your literary group too, I guess. So,
yeah.
You know, all five of us.
Well, I think the big thing I think they're pushing, though, is the stars. I mean, because you got great stars in it. I mean, it's funny when you look
Jennifer
at the cast.
Jennifer Hudson, she won an Oscar.
They're like Oscar winner Jennifer Hudson, Oscar winner Forrest Whitaker, Oscar nominee Angela Bassett, and Tyrese Gibson.
Yeah.
Who was in Transformers, people, yo. I don't know what he's doing in the movie because
I'm sure it's something very important.
He seems a bit out of place with these respectable actors. So he's made more money probably the last couple of years thanks to Transformers and Fast and Furious.
Probably, yeah.
But I'm sure this is perfectly fine. I really kind of wanted to see it just to kind of, you know, verse myself on that. But, you know, other things happened.
Yep. It happens, especially during award season for some reason. That's just how this happens.
Yes. As Dr. Ian Malkin says, life got in the way. Anyways, we got to go to a break. We'll talk to you guys in a little bit.
Uh-huh, honey.
Jerome's in the house. Watch your mouth. Your mouth. Your mouth. Bam.
Shirt, so sexy.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
Is it safe to say Merry Christmas now? Since we're kind of into Thanksgiving.
Might as well.
Thanksgiving. And
you know, you can say Happy Holidays because we're all in that mix right now.
Hell so, yeah. I don't know. The problem with Happy Holidays to me is like such a generic, oh, Happy Holidays. I really don't care. I don't care to know anything about your background. I'm just going to say Happy Holidays.
But it is holidays right now. You know, it's still kind of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So it's a holiday.
Happy Black Friday.
There you go.
Happy trampling people at the mall. Happy getting an Xbox One for $59 and stabbing, shiving somebody with your controller on the way out.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, I found it ironic, and I saw this on some meme on Facebook pointed out that it says, you know, it's crazy that Thanksgiving is the day you're thankful, and then you trample people the next day to get, you know,
it's
the
true
best price on stuff.
And why not?
Yeah, you know, that's part. It's a sport. It's like football. Football's Thanksgiving. Running people over in the malls is the same thing. So
I prefer to do it online. It makes to run over people a lot online easier, and I don't have to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
So
Cyber Monday is a big deal.
Black Friday is just fine, too. Last year, I did all of my Christmas shopping on Thanksgiving night from my laptop at my parents' house.
Well, see, there you go.
See?
Anyways, let's talk about, you know, more family gatherings.
Yes.
With Old Boy.
Another family-friendly movie.
Yes. Old Boy, Spike Lee remakes this Korean thriller about a man held captive for 10 years seeking answers and revenge.
What happened to him?
He showed up last night.
I need your help, Chuck.
I haven't seen the guy in like 20 years.
Who are you?
If you were trying to find your daughter and clear your name, I could help you.
If you would like to see your daughter alive again, answer two questions. One, why did I imprison you for 20 years? And two, why did I let you go?
This movie was not screened for us. This movie actually was not screened for anybody.
No.
I contacted the film company, actually, and they were like, oh yeah, we have a industry screening that you can go to. And and she didn't send me the information. And then finally I emailed her. I said, did you get this? And she's like, yes, it's, at this theater. It starts in 5 minutes. But the thing is, it was in Columbus, Georgia, not Columbus, Ohio.
You know, if you could just teleport, it would have made things a lot easier.
And it was amazing because I think she was actually trying to get me in to see it. It's just, she saw Columbus, and that's why I put on Twitter. I said I was Tommy Boyd. Because I don't know if you remember the movie Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
There was a mix-up between Columbus, Ohio, and Georgia in that movie. Anyways, did you see the original Old Boy?
I didn't, but I know all kinds of stuff about it.
Yeah.
So this should be an interesting one, and not necessarily a cheery holiday pick.
Yeah. Back in the late 90s and into the early 2000s, there was a lot of crazy, extreme stuff coming out of Asian cinema,
right.
Japan, and mostly Japan and Korea.
This one's Korean, right?
It's Korean.
Yeah.
And some of it from Hong Kong, but then that kind of moved to France. France then got really edgy in the mid 2000s. Go figure. But this falls into one of it. The original was directed, and I can't remember whether he wrote it, but Chan-Wook Park, who did Stoker earlier this year. I'm more interested in seeing this just because I think Spike Lee's an incredibly talented filmmaker, but I think he's sometimes held back by always trying to do a movie that's so politically relevant or issue driven.
Yeah. And really, what's the last Spike Lee movie that was really awesome?
Yeah.
That's what concerns me.
Probably the last big one, I would say maybe Inside Man, but that was out of his wheelhouse anyways.
And that was a long time ago too.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was that. I remember the ones that stick in my mind are that one and The 25th Hour, which are older movies of his. Or movies that are not his normal fare.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to see that because I'm like, I have seen Do the Right Thing, and he's a very talented filmmaker, but it's like, how many more movies about the black experience in Brooklyn can we have?
Right.
That's great, and you know, get out of yourself. But I want to see him do something different, and that's why I'm very interested in this
movie. Mm-hmm.
More so, I wasn't a wild fan of the Korean Old Boy.
No?
No.
That's interesting because I've heard a lot of people who are so crazy in love with that movie that, you know, this is just the greatest thing that was ever made, and now they're so excited for the remake. And
I'm curious because part of Park's movie is it's kind of bizarre. It has some very bizarre things, and I'm wondering how much. I've seen rumblings online. I've seen reviews because there's only like two or three out there where they say that it's not as extreme as the Korean one.
I can imagine. So. I mean, you have to make it for a little bit more of a mainstream audience, I guess. Yeah. And it is funny because I was talking with another one of the critics out here. We were looking at the poster and she was saying how, you know, it really looks like it could be some quirky holiday family fun kind of film. She's like, you look at this poster and you're like, oh, it's Josh Brolin and he's in a box and he's coming out of the box. And what is going on in this box? And he's like, she said, I can see a whole bunch of people going to this movie going, oh, this looks like fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who was that? Because I'm like, to me, I'm like, what do you consider a family holiday film?
It was Hope.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Wow. Anyways, this gets a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for us.
Yes.
We got to move on. Next is Homefront.
Yes. Jason Statham plays a former DEA agent who settles into small town Louisiana with his daughter and runs into trouble with the locals.
No! I want this thing settled, and I mean now. Is that the father, not your girl? You the father?
Think we're gonna be disrespected?
Can you go over there and do some things?
Mess with their heads like you do everyone else.
Scare them.
Your door's open. Neighbor calling.
Very nice to meet you, Agent Broker.
I'd be real careful, Broker. People around here don't shake and make up.
Yeah, this is Rednecks. This is Jason Statham versus Rednecks.
This is the Transporter meets Deliverance.
Yeah.
Right here.
Oh, it's amazing. What's also amazing about it is, A, Jason Statham's hair in the beginning.
Oh.
Which I didn't even recognize it was him.
Yeah.
And even more so, him just desperately trying to do any American accent. Let alone, I think he was trying to do kind of like,
I don't know what
like
he was
Southern Cajun or something like that.
Oh.
But it was a disaster. I mean, it was like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves disaster.
This movie should not have come out in November. It should have come out in February.
Oh, yeah.
This is a February movie.
This is not a Thanksgiving
when
movie.
When people really don't care what they're seeing.
I'm watching this film going, when is Dolph Lundgren going to show up? Because that would be amazing. With that said, I had a lot of fun watching this movie.
I went through a lot of pain watching this movie. And yeah, it's amusing. And that's the thing. If they would have taken this and played with the comedy, because it can be really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And it's totally over the top and totally ridiculous. And if they had just taken it that way and made this into an action comedy, it would have been a fun movie.
See, but I took it as an action comedy.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was intended
this is not intentionally an action comedy. There are, yeah.
You have to admit, though, James Franco has the best introduction because he's the bad guy. He's the heavy in this movie.
Oh.
And he shows up with a naked Seth Rogen on his motorcycle. No, that doesn't happen.
That would have been better, I think. Yeah.
He shows up and he says to these people, he goes, my name's Gator Labine. And I'm sitting next to Ed Douglas and I lean over to him. I'm like, of course it is.
Yes.
And I see this not as necessarily, you know, action comedy or whatever. I look at it as a prequel to Spring Breakers. Before he quit his job and then moved down to Florida.
Right.
To become Alien.
Yeah. Seriously, there are more half-wits in this movie than anything I've seen in years.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
And like Kate Bosworth is a meth addict, strung out junkie.
Yes, who really just needs a cheeseburger.
Lois Lane fell on hard times.
Now, to me though, I can see this as a public service announcement against bullying.
And meth.
Because, you know, this whole thing starts because Jason Statham's daughter is bullied on the playground.
Yep.
And so this is the deal. If you bully a little girl on the playground, you end up with a bunch of angry bikers shooting up your whole town.
True.
So don't bully little girls on the playground.
Final grade?
Sucks.
I say it kind of rocks because I had fun. When we come back, we're going to talk Philomena and Frozen.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
That's me. I'm Kevin Carr Labine. Call me Gator Carr.
I think it's Bodine.
I can't understand a word he said.
I also think that in the credits, his name was something like Morgan.
Yeah, it was, and then it was in parentheses.
Yeah, Gator. We never hear his real name anywhere in this entire movie, but he has a name and it's like Morgan.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, now that we've talked about all these family-friendly films, let's talk about another one, shall we?
Yeah, we were teasing everybody. Those were not family-friendly movies.
We were just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one up is Frozen. In Disney's latest fairy tale, after the new queen accidentally sends the entire kingdom into eternal winter,
oops,
her sister sets out to find a way to break the spell.
down.
It's completely frozen.
Cold, 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 cold.
A real howler in July, yeah?
The land's covered in eternal snow.
Really?
If we don't do something soon, we'll all freeze to death.
You want to talk about a problem? I sell ice for a living.
Ooh, that's a rough business to be in right now. I mean, that is really... that's unfortunate.
What do you think?
You know, this... Disney does princess movies, mm-hmm. and they do them very well. But I think Disney might be learning from Pixar a little bit.
Yeah?
I think the animation in this movie is gorgeous. Now, you know, you have snow. There's snow, and there's ice, and there's more snow. But this is so layered and so colorful and so just stunningly beautiful at times.
And we're seeing it in 3D because of that.
Yes.
I think.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. And not only that, but, you know, the story is sometimes surprisingly sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more dramatic and less goofy and silly than some of the other ones that we've seen.
Well, and I think it also is very self-aware of its mm-hmm. Disney existence.
Yeah.
It plays with Disney convention.
Oh, definitely.
Very much so.
Sweet and charming, but it's still a little more dramatic, mm-hmm. a little more sophisticated. And for me, one of the things that really worried me about this movie was Olaf the Snowman.
Yeah, because the trailer makes him look awful.
Yes, they make this character seem like the wackiest, most insane, crazy character.
Yeah.
That it's just going to be this pretty story, and then all of a sudden, bam! Snowman!
We need a Jar Jar Binks in this movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's actually really charming and sweet, and he's probably one of the best parts of the movie, really.
When you get movies like this where there are... All the ads I saw from Frozen were the snowman and the reindeer.
Right.
And then suddenly I'm seeing people talk about it. I'm seeing people early reviews and coverage, and they're showing pictures of princesses and ice castles. I'm like, what's this? Because I thought it was about a snowman and a reindeer.
It's true. They did do all of these spots that were all about the snowman and the reindeer. And you're like, well, but isn't this a princess movie?
Yeah.
So, it's not about the snowman and the reindeer.
Yeah.
It's a lot more than that.
I think so. Well, I see a lot of Pixar influence. I mean, it really goes hand in hand with Tangled.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at kind of the development of the animation for it.
And I think to me the setting also reminds me a lot of Brave.
Yeah. Yeah, it has a lot of that to it. Well, mm-hmm. and it's because it's that female-centric character, and it makes her more of an action hero than the traditional Disney princess just being the waif
mm-hmm.
of a sorts.
And I think, you know, there are a lot of interesting things that are different twists on this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, you actually have two princesses in this mm-hmm. movie. There's not just one. There are two. And there are some interesting little twists along the way. I mean, you know.
There was a certain way I thought it was going to end.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that's totally going to happen. And then when it didn't,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, well played, Disney.
Yeah.
Because I see so many movies that you know the beats. And you can be like, well, that's going to happen. This is how they're going to get out of that.
And in this one, there's no obvious villain. You don't mm-hmm. have, like, this horrible person coming down, like a giant witch and mm-hmm. cursing everybody. No, it's, you know, it's an accident.
Yeah.
You know, the other princess, she's just kind of misunderstood.
Which, again, is very similar to Brave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they make her out to be this horrible villain, kind of in all of the things that I read about it before. I'm like, hold on, no. She's actually just, you know, it was an accident.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's not a bad person.
Mm-mm.
It just, she loves too much.
Yes, there you go.
That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the music?
The music is fun. I've actually been singing the snowman song in my head all week. The thing about, you know, summer and being excited to do what frozen things do in summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The one I got in my head, it's the Let It Go song,
okay.
which is when she starts using her powers. It's and I think that Demi Lovato does a cover for it. That's the one that they're releasing
in
pop, of course, because it's Disney and it's Demi Lovato. I know somebody who saw it, and afterwards she was like so mad because whatever her name is, who does the voice, I forget her name. She was in Rent, and she was in Glee, and she's
Idina Menzel.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And she was all upset because they're not doing the radio version with her. They're doing Demi Lovato. And I'm like, well, it's nobody knows.
Disney,
you can put Demi Lovato on and you got 13-year-old girls who would just download it on the name alone.
Yep.
So, and a bunch of creepy old dudes. So, what's interesting, I took my son Ben, who's 10, to see this movie. And he's a boy, obviously.
I sure hope so.
And yeah, what was amazing about it is he was like, well, when they started singing, he kind of was kind of rolling his eyes. He's like, ah, singing. But by the end, he was loving the movie. Mm-hmm. So even for boys.
One thing that I found really interesting, we go to these screenings with a ton of kids.
Yeah.
And they're crazy and they're loud and they run all over the place. And that wasn't the case this time.
Sometimes they're better than the adults.
It was quiet. And the kids were really paying attention to what was going on.
And it's not a short movie.
No.
Well, because they have a cartoon in front of it, which is brilliant. Because it plays with vintage
kind of
Mickey
fun, yeah.
and modern 3D. It's one of those.
It was a little surprising for me.
Yeah. It gets a little randy at times.
It does.
I was like, oh my. There's one thing in there where my son Ben leans over to me and does a great George Takei voice. He's like, oh my. I'm like, yep. I'll explain that to you later.
Anyways, 10 years.
It's a great movie. I say it totally rocks.
I do too.
All right, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk about the next movie, which is Philomena. Based on a true story, a woman who gave up her baby for adoption in a convent in the 50s joins with a BBC journalist to track down her lost son.
I only want to know if he's all right.
Perhaps these older nuns should help us with some of the details.
I don't think that's going to be possible.
Why not?
You're a journalist.
I used to be.
Marshall's a Roman Catholic.
Yes, well, no, I used to be. My guess is that Anthony was adopted and sent to America.
I think I would like to go. I'd like to know if Anthony ever thought of me. I've thought of him every day.
So, did you like this one?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Yeah. You know, it's really a heartbreaking story. Mm-hmm. It is a terrible story. I mean, you know, you say that she gave her son up for adoption, but she really didn't.
She was forced to.
Yeah, she didn't have a choice. She was forced.
This is what they did in Ireland.
Yeah, she was forced to give her son up for adoption, and she was forced to work off her sins for this convent. So while they're working her to death, they give up her kid. Yeah. So, you know, it's a really heartbreaking film, and she stayed quiet about this for 50 years and just kept it all to herself. And it's such a tragic story. Mm-hmm. But the writing makes it so much fun.
And the acting. Yeah. The performances are really what
Judi Dench is brilliant.
You know, she hasn't aged. I mean, she hasn't aged from when she was old in the 90s. I have no idea what she looked like when she was like 20.
Yeah.
She may look like she does. I mean, but if you go back and watch like GoldenEye.
It's true.
When she first played Q.
She looks exactly M. Yeah. Other letter. Yeah.
One of the letters. Yeah. Yeah, and then I was thinking that as I'm watching it, I'm like going, she looks exactly the same. Like Notes on a Scandal, which came out almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, same woman. Mm-hmm. Like literally, I mean, she's just like, she's preserved. She's a preserved national treasure from England.
And she is so much fun as this character. Seriously, like she is this baddie woman who loves her romance novels, and she will talk about them all day. And but at the same time, she has that little bit of spunk in her that she is going to say exactly what she thinks, and she doesn't care if she's putting people in their place. She will do it.
How old do you have to be to just be like that? I already say whatever the heck I feel like.
Yes, you do.
How old do I have to be before
clearly,
people forgive me?
Clearly for you, it's about 6.
Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering when people are going to be like, oh, he's just old.
When I think you've got a while.
I got about 20 years at
least. Yeah, at least. Right. Sorry.
Steve Coogan's great in it.
He is.
He does a great... Actually, and he's very generous in this because he plays the secondary character. And that shows real... It reminds me... His performance in this reminds me of Jeffrey Rush's performance in The King's Speech, where it was clearly a showcase for the other guy.
Yep.
But you never felt that he was envious of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is really good. He is, you know, cynical and sarcastic in the right amounts.
Yep.
But, you know, he is very gracious.
Yep. All right. Final grade?
It rocks.
I'm going to say it rocks, too. All right. When we go to a break, we're going to be talking about box office and the DVD roundup.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
That's right.
Before we get into the box office stuff, we have a little bit of box office news, I guess.
In the future, you need to refer to me as Gator, remember.
Kevin Gator Carr.
Odini by.
Okay. Yeah. I will make a note of that for next week.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, go on. I stole your thunder. I caught your fire.
Well, really, it's kind of it's kind of your thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's an article I saw. And, well, there's an interesting thing that happened when it came to this, this dovetails into box office and get through the whole, I had said 102 for million for Catching Fires. I was way low. You said 155 for Catching Fire. You were closer, much closer.
I was a little bit closer.
You were a lot closer.
Yeah.
It ended up coming in with 158 million.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the interesting thing about how box office expectations and reporting.
Now, the one thing about this, this is the highest ever opening for November.
Yes.
You know, just to transition into your little bit of news.
Yes. Well, no, yeah. What I'm saying is what happened was the initial estimates on Monday morning were like
161
something.
Yeah.
And it just, that estimate just barely went above Dark Knight. So Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that people were talking about that is because it was significant, because it beat Dark Knight Rises, because that was a 2D opening as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of, like, Avengers is in Iron Man 3 are not quite apples and apples because they had 3D.
Right.
You know, and even though this had IMAX, there's a lot of things to deal with. So the records were different when the final numbers came, and it was only off by like
3,000 or 3 million.
Yeah. It was like a tiny little percentage.
Not that much, no.
It's within, well within the standard margin of error. But then what happened is on Monday, Lionsgate's stock took a big dip.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. And a lot of people, there's other speculation. There's other things going on that,
sure,
that
could be anything really.
Yeah. We're not capable of discussing that. You know, we don't know the financials ins and outs, but it seemed odd that the day they announced this ridiculously well received movie, which is in the 80 percentile at Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
And it made, I mean, it made more than its budget on opening weekend.
Right.
And suddenly that's now being
like $50 million more than its budget.
Yeah. I think it was like 130 is what the budget is. Yeah. So that's the reported budget. So why, a lot of people are saying, is there a reason? Is it because it didn't meet the expectations? Cause going in, people were predicting 175, 185 million. And that's a question.
Which is a ridiculous number for this movie.
That's ridiculous. That's what Iron Man 3 made.
Mm-hmm.
And Iron Man 3 had a 3D bump.
Right.
And it was coming off the Avengers.
And it was in the summer.
Yeah. And it was the first movie in the summer,
which is always huge.
Huge. So that's the big question is catching, I guess, the answer, should it be blamed for that? It shouldn't be. There should be no, this is not bad news. This is great for Lionsgate.
You know what? If I made $158 million one weekend, I'd be kind of sad.
I'd be tired.
Yeah. Nice.
Lord knows what I'd be doing for $158 million. But that's what's so fascinating about this is, and the way trending works, because now they predict stuff so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, they will have tracking and because of technology.
What did the Google algorithm say about this movie?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
It's crazy.
They'll say, well, it's tracking this high on Fandango and ticket sales and that sort of thing. And then when it doesn't, if you say, like, if they were hoping for 100 to 75, 185 million opening weekend, if they were saying, well, it might make 130 million, if that's what they were projecting, this would be seen as a massive success.
Huge, yeah.
The end result is the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is why you can have a movie like Free Birds, which is currently at number 5, and it's just under 50 million going into Thanksgiving weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie is just like, well, it's at least people are seeing it, so it's a success.
A couple people saw it.
Yeah, not
that's
that
all right.
It didn't cost $130 million to make, but that's what's so bizarre about it. And Scott Mendelson from Forbes, he really kind of shames the investors for saying, how can you call this a bad thing?
Yeah.
You know, so an interesting note in box office. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Catching Fire did extremely well. Part of it is also people are saying, well, it didn't do marginally better than the first one, and there weren't 8 o'clock shows.
It still did better.
It did slightly better. But the thing is, a lot of times the second movie doesn't do as well.
Right.
Or doesn't do better.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything's like The Dark Knight.
Right.
You know.
Because The Dark Knight was crazy.
Empire Strikes Back. The lowest grossing movie of the entire Star Wars franchise, I think, is Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
It may be Return of the Jedi. But the whole point is that, you know, the sequel doesn't always do better.
No.
And a lot of times it doesn't do better by a mile.
Right.
So. Thor came in second with one-tenth, less than one-tenth
of
one.
Wow, yeah.
So there's another interesting thing. Thor, which is considered a big success, mm-hmm. which had a $130 million yeah. budget or so, it's made $170 million.
Right. That is $12 million more than Catching Fire made in its first weekend.
Yeah. And Thor is considered a big hit.
Right.
Mainly because Disney wasn't stupid about how they projected it.
Well played, Disney.
Way to go. First Frozen, now this. The Best Man Holiday held okay. It's at $12 million. I think it's going to take a hit this week because... you know, going for kind of the same audience.
Mm-hmm.
Delivery Man did not do well. 7.9 million. Then you go ticking down here, and I think the next one is the Christmas, all the way down to the standard list, but on the 15th is Christmas Candle with 833,000 in 392 theaters, average of about 2,000 per screen.
You know, it's funny because I was at a screening the other night or the other day, and I was walking out of the theater, and there was just one woman walking into the theater, and she walked up to the box office and said, "Christmas Candle, please." And I was like, really?
Yeah.
You're seeing that? Wow, I didn't even know it was playing here.
I was at the movies that Thursday. I forget what I was seeing, but I think it was a screening, but people mm-hmm. were going to, people were buying tickets to the Christmas Candle.
Which That's is so odd. Weird.
Yeah. They were
Who
not,
knew?
Not a ton of them.
No.
But it did okay for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to sink like a stone because, you know, it's a TV movie. So once it gets on video, I think it'll do fine on video.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's another interesting piece of news that you... Notice
yes. Last weekend, Frozen opened on one screen in California.
The El Capitan Theater, which Disney owns.
Right. Yeah. And it brought in $238,000, mm-hmm. which doesn't sound like a lot of money. Although, you know, it's pretty much fighting the Christmas Candle.
Well, it's 100 times as much, more than 100 because times it, as much as the Christmas Candle made.
You know, turn. It only was on one screen. Mm-hmm. And that is the seventh highest ever per screen average.
Yep.
So
interesting note, the other six are all Disney movies.
Yes.
Opening exclusively at the El Cap.
Yes. Again, well played, Disney. Well played.
Well, have you had a chance to be at the El Capitan? Have you been to LA?
I've walked past it.
It's definitely pushed as it's like the Disney store exploded and gave birth to a theater.
That sounds like a dream.
Yeah. So and that's the thing. I mean, they really butter their own bread there. And they're not gonna release the Hunger Games.
No.
There.
So. I'm trying to think what was playing when I was there. There was, you know, something Disney.
God, you know what was playing there when I was there? High School Musical.
Nice.
And an exclusive theatrical run.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So that's it. So what do you think's gonna win this weekend?
I am going to stick with Catching Fire this weekend.
Okay.
And, you know, I can play with numbers all I want, but it's a holiday weekend. It's a mess. So, I don't know.
You get a ballpark figure? $12? $100,000?
A billion.
$1 billion?
Yes.
$1 billion for Catching Fire.
And four, actually. $1 billion and
$1 billion,
four.
Lots of zeros there. Yeah. And four.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Frozen at $60 okay. million.
Now, is that for the weekend or is that for the whole holiday?
Oh, that's for the holiday spread.
Okay.
Yeah, from when it opened, which is Wednesday.
Right.
So, yeah, you're looking at a wider spread. Catching Fire is going to be a little more front-loaded. That I just think.
We'll see.
Yeah. It's doing extremely well.
I think it's one that people might go and see again.
That's possible.
So.
It's just extremely crowded. That's the only thing that I think is going to be a problem for it. It's just there's so many other things opening.
Yep. And I think Frozen will do well, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I think they'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
Not that the Lionsgate investors are going to believe it, but there you go.
Yeah.
Anyways, we need to move on to do the next segment, which we like to call the world famous
DVD Roundup.
That's right.
Woo!
All right. There is not a whole lot of DVDs just because.
Oh, there's some fabulous stuff coming out this week.
There's some cool stuff. Well, there's Red 2.
Yes.
Which
I enjoyed.
Yeah. Hopefully no one will have a seizure when you see it, because didn't somebody have a seizure during that movie?
Somebody did, actually. Yes. It was crazy.
Yeah. There's also Jobs, which is not very good. I mean, Steve Jobs is very inspirational. There's a lot of speeches in this movie, more than an entire presidential
and
campaign.
And really, Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. And then The Canyons with Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan.
Which is not my stinker of the week.
And James Dean.
Yes, porn star James Dean. And soon-to-be porn star Lindsay Lohan.
Nice.
The Grandmaster, which is a Weinstein movie. Mm-hmm. That nobody saw. And then Breaking Bad, the final season. And then MST3K, the 25th collector's anniversary tin for Turkey Day, which is great.
There you go.
I was going to ask you what turkeys you watch this weekend, but we don't have time. The turkey of the week is The Getaway.
Yes, it is.
Ethan Hawke and Selena Gomez.
Oh.
Amazing. Anyways, we got to go. We've got Black Nativity, couldn't go. Homefront, you said
it sucks.
I said it kind of rocks. Frozen, we both said rocks. Old Boy, we didn't get to see. And Philomena, we both said rocks. We will talk to you later.
See ya.